Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to be in your house, being planted in your house. And God, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to people. You would reveal your word. Lord, we don't pray for information. God, we pray for impartation. Lord, we thank you that it's your word that does the work and your Holy Spirit that reveals, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, last week we talked about the cost of loving people. We've been talking about the cost of leadership, the cost of following Christ, the cost of the season that we're in as a church. And I want to start by saying the reward is greater than the cost. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so we are looking forward to what God has for us. But today I wanted to talk about the cost of loving the church, the cost of loving the bride of Christ. And I think sometimes it's lost on us the significance and the importance of what it means to count the cost of being part of a local church, what it means to be part of a church community. Because you do realize there's no rules as to who can come in. Amen? We don't vet people at the door before you come into the church service and say, yes, that person's allowed, but that personality is not allowed. And the fact that we don't do that means that you're going to get a collection of so many different backgrounds, so many different church experiences, so many different people, and that just creates a culture. It just creates an atmosphere of people. And the way and the manner in which, and we hope and we pray that we interact with each other is a godly one, is a biblical one. But often what happens, and this is something that we experienced during COVID, I would say, and if anyone, I don't think anyone would disagree with me, is that the thing I love about Exchange Church is its spiritual diversity. Amen? Not just ethnical, but its spiritual diversity. But when COVID happened, the enemy knows how to get in and tries to twist that stuff. And it was one of the things that actually turned on us. And we started to notice each other's differences in a negative way. Well, that's just what it is like to be part of a family. Amen? That's just what it means to be part and connected. And so when I was thinking about this, the cost of loving the church, the bride of Christ, the institution that Jesus established, what is the cost and how does that work out for me? Well, what is one of the most precious things that we have is time. Amen? And how you spend your time. So we live in the Bay Area, and if you are called to minister in the Bay Area, I believe if you're in the Bay Area and God has put you here, maybe you haven't had that revelation yet, but I encourage you to seek God on that. If you live in the Bay Area, then one of the most precious things we have is time. People here are busy, right? People here are super busy. And so it can be difficult even for us as a leadership to run an event and organize, and getting people on the same page and getting people in the same room can be a challenge because time is precious. I mean, we've never encountered this in Australia. School sports are not connected. Sports are not connected to education and your college. And so it's a completely different dynamic here, one that just caught us off guard. But that means parents are busy. Parents are driving, you know, school sports when everyone here was younger was just in the local area. Now, you know, 7-year-olds are driving to Miami, then over to Columbia to cheerlead, and then back to Houston on the way back, and it's completely changed. Even the demands of work. It used to be a 40-hour work week, but it's completely changed. Work culture has changed. And so time becomes very precious. And so I started to think about time and how we spend our time, because we all have free will and a choice to make decisions on how we're going to spend that time. And I thought, what prioritizes my time? And these are the things that I wrote down. It's not limited to this list, but I think need and desire. There are things that we need, and so we choose to spend our time to fulfill that need. And then there are things that we desire. And so we spend our time to meet those desires. Sometimes it's because of pain. We prioritize our time because of pain that's in our life and pleasure. There are things that we enjoy doing, so we prioritize our time for that. But then I added this one, and I'm asking this question. Do we prioritize our time because of truth? What involvement and is truth on the list of what prioritizes your time? So question, how do you prioritize your time? Is your time by the majority being prioritized by need? What you need or what someone else needs? Is your time being prioritized and hijacked because of desire? Is there an unhealthy desire? Or maybe there's a healthy desire, but it can become unhealthy. Maybe it's pain, maybe it's pleasure, but is time being decided in terms of how we prioritize our time by truth? And I think from truth, we get purpose. Amen. Am I going too fast? Good. Amen. We prioritize our time because of God's word, truth. We see the word of God. From the word of God, I get a set of values. And I've realized my life is no longer my own. I laid my life down for Jesus. I presented myself as a living sacrifice and said, God, you have my time. I give to you my time. And it wasn't a negotiation. It was a surrendership, saying, God, you get to decide what I need, what I desire, pain, pleasure, and truth. Or maybe make this more personal. As a Christian, how are we prioritizing our time between church, family, work, education, kids' sports, life? How are we prioritizing all of that? You know, because if you're not careful, the world will tell you how to spend your time. And if you're not careful, you can subconsciously allow culture to define how you spend your time. And if you're not careful, the Joneses will tell you how to spend your time. They'll tell you. They'll scream it across the street from their new car in their driveway. And all of a sudden, the desire has been planted in your heart. And now you're going to spend time making a way to outmatch that car. I don't think anyone does that, though, do they? No, not in the Bay Area. My focus today is the relationship. When talking about time, I was thinking, what is some of the biblical places that I'm supposed to spend my time, getting to the root of it? And it was the relationship between my biological family and my spiritual family, how I spend my time. This is where I'm going to reemphasize a message that you've heard before, the relationship between the biological family and the spiritual family. Because let's face it, I go to work to support my family. Amen. I have a family and I have a biblical responsibility to be the head of my household and to lead my family. But I also have a responsibility in the Word of God. Jesus said, in the Old Testament, those who plant themselves in the house of the Lord shall flourish like the cedars of Lebanon. Amen. So that we've got this relationship where us as men and women of God are spending time in church and we're spending time with our family. Our biological family is determined by our natural blood, and our spiritual family is determined by Jesus's blood. It's because of what he did on the cross. Our spiritual family is determined by the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for our sins so that we could be adopted into the family of God as brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 5. A lot of scriptures today, so get ready. Ephesians 1 5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. When you received Christ into your heart, the person on your left and the person on your right became your spiritual family. You are adopted into God's family, and your family's got your back. Amen? I hope so. But Jesus also reiterates this point in Mark 3:32, and it says, there was a crowd sitting around Jesus and someone said, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked at those around him and said, look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does the will, who does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. It's the reiteration of the spiritual family of God. I want to emphasize this because I think culturally there seems to be this unconscious pecking order that we create that demotes the spiritual family below our biological family. And we have this pecking order that says, God's the most important thing in my life, then it's my family, then it's church, and then it's work. Where I'm suggesting here from scripture that no, God sees our biological and our spiritual family as this beautiful combination that works together, this complementary unit that helps, and there's things that you will receive from your spiritual family that you can't get from your biological family, and there are things that you'll get in your biological family that you can't get from your spiritual family. Amen. Each come with different levels of responsibility and different levels of commitment, but God uses them both so that we don't become an isolated family and we don't become independent and neglect the spiritual family of God. And then also it's unhealthy. We fall into this unhealthy balance of we get too much into the spiritual family of God at the sake of neglecting our biological family. That also is not healthy. Together they are working and God has designed it this way. In my opinion, the language of scripture doesn't create a separation between our biological and spiritual families, but rather it unifies them. Ephesians 5:21 says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. I love this language. It's just weaving the biological and the spiritual family together. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so your wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. See, the biblical language here creates this symmetry, this unity between the two. The two are supposed to work together. Now, when functioning correctly, or maybe a better word, when functioning in a healthy manner, our spiritual family is supposed to be complementary to our biological family, and our biological family is supposed to be complementary to our spiritual family. So, two questions. How do I know when I'm spending too much time with my spiritual family and neglecting my biological family? Now, as a pastor, that's a question that I have to ask. But I think within churches, and I've been part of churches where it's become very unhealthy. And in order to serve, you need to be able to attend a midweek leadership group. You need to be able to attend a discipleship group. You need to be able to attend a 6 a.m. prayer meeting. You need to also be able to attend all three services on a Sunday, and you need to be able to attend service on a Saturday. This is the standard to meet. You need to be unemployed to be able to be a leader in some churches in order to be able to rise to that level. And I think that's unhealthy, right? If it's costing the biological family, you know, I hear some of these great men, these God's generals, if you've read some of the stories about their families, and how they were just left in other countries, neglected. I just don't think that's healthy. I don't think God's plan is your family die for the sake of the ministry. Amen? I think there should be your family. There should be a commitment to the biological family as well. And question number two, how do I know when I'm spending too much time with my biological family and neglecting my spiritual family? And I think this is a one that in America, one of the things I love about America, you do family so well. I love watching family. You don't see it because you're in it and you've grown up with it. But how the family unit functions here is just so wonderful. The negative side that I see of that is family becomes an idol. A good thing gets in the way of a God thing. And a good thing that was never supposed to get in the way of a God thing becomes an idol. And we prioritize family. We spend more time, I'm going to say it, in Tahoe than, and church is, we're not planted in church. Church is the afterthought as long as family's taken care of. Well, there's so much that we need from our spiritual family. You have been adopted by God into a spiritual family because of what Jesus did. When you receive Christ, you're not just now thinking about my biological brother. I'm now also praying and thinking about my spiritual brother. Where are they at? What are they going through? Your world got bigger. But don't worry, God is there to help us. Galatians, and I say this, when it comes to how do I decide how to spend time, these are two great scriptures that can really help us in terms of making decisions and trusting God. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These are two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Do you see that conflict there? It's inviting the Holy Spirit into the decision-making process of how you spend your time. It's not, I surrendered my time to Jesus when I invited him to his heart, and I want to continue to surrender that. It wasn't a one-time moment, but this is a relationship that I'm building with him over time and trusting him. Romans 8:12 says this, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all of you who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So the significance of making sure, and I'll rephrase this, that I don't want the next generation to be unexposed to the presence of God. And I say again, you know my heart here, and I always, this is an constant encouragement that I give to church, and it's a healthy reminder, is that I don't want to sacrifice my child's spiritual formation and foundation on a 1% chance to get into the NFL. And for some families, that's a real deal. It's a real thing to get into a college, to get in. And again, education's not a bad thing and sport's not a bad thing, but I don't want a good thing to get in the way of the God thing. I want the spiritual formation and foundation of our young people to know Jesus. So our lives are not being led by need, desire, pain, and pleasure, but rather we are being led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Now, I think as Christians, we need accountability. And just by pure a fact of this, you know, when friends come over and they're hanging out, the manner in which I talk to Ellie is a little bit more dialed back, a little bit more careful in how I talk, because there's another family there, right? Is this? I know it's not just me. But when it's just Ellie and I can just go boom and say exactly what I think. I just go straight to it. There's no niceties and how was your day? Ellie, boom. That's how it is. And I guarantee this is how it is behind doors with a lot of families. You just cut straight to what it is that you're feeling because you're family, right? Now, this is why I believe we need accountability, is because there's this temptation for us to drift. As Christians, I believe we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit and we need the correction of godly pointed leadership, God ordained church leadership, the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the correction of God ordained church leadership. In scripture, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and this is Jesus speaking, we see in John 16:5, it says, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I don't go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. So the conviction of the Holy Spirit plays a role in our life. But it's also church leadership, the correction of God-ordained church leadership. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Why? Because everyone is vulnerable to drifting away from truth, right? I can, in my family, drift away from truth. But I guarantee you there's some men here will go, that's not okay. You can't do that. And somehow in families, we can just become like that. But then sometimes in the church, you know, I love how the church and the biological and spiritual family work together. They bring accountability, the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the correction of church leadership, bringing us into this beautiful place of submission, as that verse I just said, Hebrews 2:1 says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. So quick question, what system or structure do you have in place so that you don't drift away from the things of God? Amen. Amen. When Ellie and I have a fight, we don't get divorced, right? Because that's my biological family. If I have a fight at church, I don't just leave. I don't divorce my church. Just like my commitment to Ellie is my commitment to church. I work through the pain. I work through the issues because I'm planted in this house. When even just if you think about a tree being planted in the ground, you got to rip the roots out of the ground and the vulnerability of that tree to go and plant in another soil, fertile soil, hopefully, is quite a vulnerable process. And so I want to make sure that I have that same commitment. Now, I know God has a plan for us so that we don't drift away, that we don't drift away from truth. It's a beautiful partnership between the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, the human body has many parts. Many parts make up, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. And it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12:14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it carry any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God had put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Do you know some people walk into a church as a foot, metaphorically, and look around and think, man, there's no foots here. There's no other feet. I'm going to go find a church full of feet. I want to be part of a feet church because I just feel comfortable with feet because I'm a feet. This is what we do. But that might play out ethnically. It might play out stylistically. It might play out in many different ways. But the body of Christ is many parts. And we need to be secure in the fact of the part that we play and trust God. And this is how I love how God uses this. Now, in our culture today, there seems to be an unconscious default setting to prioritize our lives in this order: God, family, church, work. But I believe what the Bible is saying is God, biological family, spiritual family, and then you can complete the list how you want to complete it. I've seen far too many people prioritize their biological family over their spiritual family, and sadly, it's the next generation that pays the price, which is sad. I had a great conversation with a new friend that I met this week, and we were sitting down at a coffee shop, and fascinating story, brilliant man, and he was talking about how he grew up in another country, and he had no business at church, never had gone to church, and was invited to a youth camp. He went to this youth camp, and boy, oh boy, did he encounter God in a powerful way. It changed, he said, he goes, Mark, it changed my life. He goes, I was not the same. He goes, it wrecked me. I encountered the Holy Spirit. And then he said, and then after the camp had finished, no one followed me up. And he goes, little by little, the light went out. And you see here, he couldn't get, in that context, support from his biological family. He needed the spiritual family of God. He needed the spiritual family of God to step in and partner with him and help mature him and reach his family. He said, but later on, I went on a missions trip many, many, many years later. He goes, I lost many years of formation and foundation because the spiritual family wasn't there. The role of the spiritual family and the biological family is just so awesome. How they work together to help us become mature in Christ, effective for Christ, doing what God's called us to do. I believe that we have a great, Kelly and I have a great testimony of when we came from Australia. We went for a rough season as a family. And what happened was my parents lost everything, and we went on this vacation to Europe to basically get away from everything. It was a horrible season in our family. I was quite young, so I was just living the dream. I didn't know what was going on. But we got back to the airport in Australia, and our family was homeless. We had nowhere to go. So my parents went to the government and said, hey, if you don't give us a house tonight, we're sleeping on the street. And what I love is it was the local church that didn't know. We didn't tell them. No one in our family reached out to them. And a local church turned up in a place called Nowra and filled our house with furniture and did for our family, the spiritual family, did for our family something that I still remember to this day. And by the way, it was Christmas Eve. And the spiritual family of God put a Christmas tree and made sure every kid got a Christmas present. How awesome is the spiritual family of God? When functioning in a healthy manner, the relationship between the biological and the spiritual family and how that can partner together to see us become mature in Christ to do what Christ has called us to do. Working together. Church, there is a lot of people as we move into Lafayette that need a spiritual family. There are people who have been hurt by the spiritual family who need a spiritual family like this. We might just be the spiritual family of God to see a biological family come back into a relationship with Jesus in a way that they need. How awesome would it be that God could use you in this spiritual family to unite, to bring, to heal, to see lives changed? I just think there are trajectories of lives that are going to be completely different because we stepped in, unified together in prayer, passionate to see God minister in a family's life. I believe God's already doing that. This is not something we're talking about maybe one day in the future. This is something that's already happening right now in the life of this church. So I want to encourage us this morning in our hearts to not allow the enemy to deflate, dilute the significance of you accepting Christ and being adopted into the spiritual family of God. Don't let the enemy rob you of that. Don't let the enemy cause you or allow an offense. Don't allow yourself an offense to get into your heart that creates a separation between your family of God. I've experienced many families that have been offended and they completely dislocate from the family of God. And you see the significance and the impact of that. I want to see the spiritual, I believe in for the spiritual family coming together with the biological family and God using this in a powerful way. I tell you, I think in a season right now, we need more, all the encouragement we can get. To live the life that God's called us to live, we need all of the spiritual support from our spiritual God-ordained leadership and spiritual friendships that we have within this spiritual family. This is so much more than just a gathering of random people that come together. When we come together, the Bible says that God's presence is in the midst, that God's presence is here. When we come together, where there is unity, God says He commands a blessing. There is power in this gathering because we are coming together as a spiritual family of God. This is not just some random, I like hearing music and a message. No, we are gathering around the presence of God and the Word of God together, united in God because of what Jesus did. What a privilege to be part of a church and planted in a church. It is. And amen. We're signing for our new church building on the 17th, which is so wonderful. Meaning, it's not that bump out and bump in finishes, although it is pretty good. Because the serving commitment won't change for me of serving the house. It's what it signifies to me. It's God is doing something in this area. I hear enough on the news. You can just turn it on and you hear it's getting bad, it's getting worse and all of this stuff. But God is moving. God is moving in this area and He's using a group of people like us. Just a group of people to come together and make a difference. I tell you what, you may not feel qualified, but God qualifies you. God qualifies the unqualified. And so we thank God for Jesus and what He did. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being part of Your house. God, I pray that we would be reminded today of the significance of what it means to be planted in Your house. God, I pray we wouldn't treat that lightly. God, I pray You would refresh us and remind us of our role in the spiritual family of God. God, I pray for the biological families. Lord, Your design to become one and Lord, create life. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of the roles that we get to play within that family. God, I thank You of the privilege of getting to raise children to grow up and to know You. And God, I thank You that we don't have to do that on our own. There are other parents that we can watch and learn from and grow together. Lord, the different dynamics within families, from grandparents to grandchildren and cousins. And Lord, we thank You, God, for the spiritual lineage. Lord, that there's a spiritual family tree that's happening right now that's been going on for thousands of years. God, I pray, Lord, that You would continually bring to our heart, Lord, on that Sunday morning when the kids are screaming and when the traffic is unusually heavy, God, I pray that You would remind us of the significance and the importance, Lord, of being planted in the house of the Lord. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that this word would seal in people's hearts. And God, I pray, Lord, that this week, Lord, that You would remind us. Lord, we thank You that You're so good. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.